In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the Word for Life. Nice to have you here. And I'm Jack Gardner. I'm here with Pastor Ken Keltner, who's the lead pastor at Brookside. I spent some time away as you were doing the program with the missionaries. Obviously, we picked up with the book of Joshua last week.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But we had some good times with the missionaries. Some really great programs in there, too, as well.
Yeah. Well, amen.
Yeah. We do want to remind you that coming up here, and we've been talking about this, is Mike Gendron, who has an evangelistic ministry geared towards navigating through the subject of Catholicism. Can really help you navigate through there. And I want to remind you that he is going to be at Brookside November 12th and the 13th, and that's a Saturday and Sunday.
That's a Saturday.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And 8:30 a.m. to noon is Saturday, which is the times he'll be there, and then all day Sunday, of course, too.
Yeah, and our Sunday times are 9, 10, 15, and then 6 p.m.
And we're also going to have him on the program as
well. Yeah, we'll get him on. And then he's also, Jim Schneider is going to get him on Crosstalk, I think on the Friday the 11th. And so, yeah, we're looking forward to having he and his wife Jane with us, and I know he'll be a great encouragement. He has materials that folks will be able to purchase here, yes.
Obviously, we'll have him on the program and be taking another break from Joshua.
Yeah, we'll take a little break. Someone might say, man alive, it's going to take 3 or 4 years for him to get through Joshua. But we find ourselves in Joshua 9 today, Jack, and we left off about with the Gibeonites. This chapter is someone described it as presumptuous faith. That would be partly on Joshua, because he's going to be deceived by a group of people. They're called the Gibeonites here in our text, and they're composed of four cities from among the Hivites. They're part of this whole group of the Hivites, and you got the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites. If you remember, even when they came in to take the land, the Jebusites stayed pretty much solid around Jerusalem, and it wasn't until King David came in that he actually ran the Jebusites out and took them down. And again, God was giving this command, and I think it's important when we look, Jack, at this chapter of Joshua 9. You read for us the first six verses last week, which we came to verse 3 with that, but the Gibeonites, they figured out we're not going to take, after Jericho and Ai, that news was reaching us. We better make a plan to make peace with them. And what's important for us is to, the background of Joshua 9 is found all throughout the Pentateuch, or what we would know of as the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. If you might be just waking up this morning or driving, you might not be able to take any notes on this, but just remember that in Genesis chapter 9, that was when the curse of Canaan was pronounced in Genesis. And it's now coming to fruition in God's judgment on the cities of Canaan. So you see God's mercy all the way from Genesis chapter 9 to here we are in Joshua chapter 9, where they can, there's time for them to do something to be right with God. But it's this curse that Canaan was placed with in Genesis 9 is really hitting right here for us. And Gibeon is, again, one of those cities of the Hivites. Joshua chapter 9, verse 7 says, "Then the men of Israel said to the Hivites." So that tells us that the Gibeonites, they were part of this group. So they would have been closely associated with these other nations that were right there around them. And now they're under the threat of God's judgment. Yeah, sorry, I cut you off there.
So I was also going to mention, this is chapter 9 is also where God doesn't speak and Joshua doesn't seek counsel, to bring people up to speed from where we left off last week.
Yeah, exactly. Good point. But secondly, in Exodus chapter 3, several passages in Exodus and even in Deuteronomy chapter 7, the first couple of verses, confirms the Genesis 9's judgment on the peoples of Canaan. At least seven times in Exodus and Deuteronomy, Moses lists the Canaanite cities under the threat of God's judgment. And that's what you read last week in that list in chapter 9 in the first couple of verses. And so the reason why the Gibeonites deceive Israel because of the judgment that they know is coming from God. I mean, it's a credible threat. It's been confirmed by God's word. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, here's what God said to him. He said, when the Lord brings you into the land that you are entering to take possession of it, and clears away many nations before you. So God's going to do, he's going to help take care of all this. The Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, there they are again, the Jebusites, seven nations more numerous and mightier than you. So, you know, if you're talking about who is favored to win these battles, these nations are favored over Israel.
He's already put it out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he says, and when the Lord your God gives them over to you and you defeat them, you must devote them to complete destruction. That sounds harsh, but there was cancer that had to be rooted out. And then he says, you shall make no covenant with them and show no mercy to them. That's important to realize, because there's going to be a covenant made here, and that goes back to Joshua not seeking the counsel of God. But again, back in the Pentateuch, in Deuteronomy chapter 20, there's a list of differing rules for cities that are near Israel and far away from Israel. Those far from Israel who would seek peace with God's people, according to verses 10 through 15 in Deuteronomy 20, would say, God said, you spare those people from the sword. But those near to Israel whose practices of idolatry, there's part of the sin, would lead God's people astray, are commanded to be destroyed. So that's a key, because the Gibeonites, you know, they must understand what God had told Israel, because they're going to pretend they're coming from a far country, right?
Mm-hmm.
So with these other passages, this call for Gibeon's destruction, it really denies any chance of peace. But accordingly, the Gibeonites reason that they must really present themselves as people far away, for God's law made a provision of safety for them, and they knew that. So getting a little background from those first five books helps us understand what their thinking was even. Also in Deuteronomy chapter 29, it gives instructions for foreigners that are brought in as servants to Israel. In the context, again, Jack, of what Moses' covenant renewal was with Israel, Moses assigns really a place for sojourners, get this now, to chop wood and haul water. We're going to see it come back up here in this chapter.
Okay.
Because this passage is going to explain to us that when Joshua ends up making this covenant, he's going to assign, and sparing the Gibeonites' lives, he's going to assign chopping wood and hauling water from, you know, a very prominent well in the area. So he's fulfilling the word of Moses and explaining the covenant relationship with them. Let's just pick up a little bit back here again in Joshua chapter 9. So if you remember, they come to the children of Israel, they come to Joshua. They're camped at Gilgal, by the way. And they come in, and if you remember, I mean, it looks like their clothes are going to fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
All their bread's moldy.
Mm-hmm.
Their wineskins are torn.
Mended.
Yeah, and mended. I mean, so they present themselves as like, man, we have traveled from a great distance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, deception's a... No, I don't think anybody ever initially says, I think I'm being deceived here. I mean, deception occurs, and man, we've been tricked. We've been bamboozled. Joshua's bamboozled. So in verse 7 says, the men of Israel said to the Hivites, okay, so they're from that group, perhaps you dwell among us, so how can we make a covenant with you? In other words, they're saying, hey, hold on a second. Are we being tricked here? I mean, if you're close to us, how can we make a covenant with you? Because that was one thing they wanted. They said, we've come from a far country, knowing again what the Old Testament and the Pentateuch said, that those from a far country, God said, those that you could deal with, don't make a covenant with those that are close to you. And then what happens, but they said to Joshua, we're your servants. And Joshua said to them, who are you and where do you come from? So here they come again, back in verse 9, we come from a very far country, and we come, get this, because of the name of the Lord your God, for we have heard of his fame and all that he did in Egypt, and that he did in the two kings of the Amorites, who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, Og, king of Bashan. Those are the two kings they're talking about. Therefore, our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spoke to us, saying, take provisions with you for the journey and go meet them and say to them, we are your servants. Now, therefore, make a covenant with us. So they're coming wanting to make peace. That's a big conjunction there in verse 3. But when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard, they're saying, we're not going to follow these other nations, even our own people, with what they're trying to do and wanting to fight Israel. And then this bread of ours, they talk about that, it's moldy and da-da-da, they point all that out. And then the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them, and he made a covenant with them to let them live, and the rulers of the congregation swore to them. So as we get ready to close here this morning, friends, it is so important that no matter what I'm looking to do in my life, that I want to know, do I have God's direction? Do I have God's blessing? You know, there's a great Old Testament passage that Solomon wrote in Proverbs.
On Proverbs 3, yeah, Proverbs 5 and 3. 6, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge
Him,
and he will make your path straight.
He'll direct your steps. Here's the problem, though. Just like with Joshua, they've had this great victory. He never consults the Lord. So his faith here a little bit is a little presumptuous. God doesn't intervene and go, hey, better listen to me here. No. He makes that decision. He makes peace with them. And I think over and over, Jack, how many times, whether it's a job, whether it's schooling, whether it's a new house or a car or whatever, we just go out and we just kind of do our thing without ever coming to the Lord, asking for his direction and his help. And so you think of all the times that you have leaned to your own wisdom, your own understanding. And for me, Jack, I got my both hands up. I've done that, and I've paid the price every time.
Yep.
But that if we'll acknowledge him, really acknowledge him as Lord, Father, you're directing my life. I acknowledge him. He gives us a wonderful promise. He'll direct our steps. And no matter what you're going through right now, whatever decision you need to make, the promise is there. It's a conditional promise that I need to acknowledge him, not lean to my own way. And the promise is he'll direct my steps. Have a wonderful day, and may the Lord bless you.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer, or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.